Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At least two people have been killed in a tornado that tore through the tiny town of Barnesdall, Oklahoma. KOTV's Ron Morton is there.
There's a lot of damage, pretty significant damage here. I see at least probably six or seven ambulances that have just driven by. There's all kinds of highway patrol emergency management vehicles here, and they're going from house to house to do search and rescue at this time.
Search and rescue efforts also underway at the Osage Nation Reservation. In southern Gaza, Israeli tanks have rolled into Rafah, taking control of the Palestinian side of the southern border crossing with Egypt. An American soldier stationed in South Korea has been detained in Russia. CBS's David Martin.
He was arrested last week for allegedly stealing from a woman. The evidence against him is not known.
Officials say he'd made a detour to Russia on his way home to the States to visit his girlfriend, who made the claim against him. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin State Prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Royals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Crew losing last night in Kansas City, 3-2 to the Royals. Milwaukee's Gary Sanchez with a two-run homer. On the mound, Bryce Wilson held the Royals scoreless through the first six innings. Then KC came back with a three-run rally in the seventh, followed by some plays too close to call. Pat Murphy.
Two real close calls at the end. I'm not questioning the umpires. I'm just saying two real close calls at the end changed the game, but we got to do more. You know, we didn't hit with a runner in scoring position until that time.
NFL Packers coaches meeting with the media. So what's it like not having left tackle David Bakhtiari anymore?
I mean, it's always sad when stuff like that happens. Obviously, he was such a huge part here for such a long time and a phenomenal player and phenomenal leader. It's just been different. Like last year, other guys had to step up and basically take the room over. And that's where you saw guys like Elton and Josh Myers really, you know, just become the leaders of the room. That was fun to watch.
That's the Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin about the ongoing mountain of medical debt smothering American families.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. We'll get to around 63 for a high this afternoon. There could be one or two isolated strong to severe storms, so be weather aware today. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. More thunderstorms by late afternoon and evening tomorrow. Our high right around 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there.
Ice.
I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump is interviewing the celebrity apprentices that want to be his vice president, and he's back in court in New York. Tune in. Devil's Advocates. All the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Is a red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You got that right. Greetings and welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. We're catching up with John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Had a bit of a roller coaster ride yesterday in the marketplace. We'll find out why. Stick around for John. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, on the way for weather details. And I'll tell you what, the Central Plain states had a rough night overnight, already reporting a bunch of tornadoes that touched down in Oklahoma. They have actually got threats of golf ball sized hail and winds that could be as fast as 80 miles an hour. Now, that's the central U.S., but that storm front is still coming towards Wisconsin. It means all of us are going to get wet today, from La Crosse to Madison to Milwaukee. Daytime highs today, a little cooler than they were yesterday, and the winds are going to be a little bit more noticeable. Highs today, probably around 70 degrees. On the lakeshore, a little cooler, 67, probably the expected high. For tomorrow, we'll see partly cloudy skies, basically all day long. Daytime highs, a little warmer, probably from 72 on the lakeshore to a high of 76 around Madison. Thursday, more rain in the forecast. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, on the way to break down what's happening across the United States.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
The fair season is sneaking up on us. Whether you're ready for it or not, I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I truly enjoyed the fair season and getting out to see what children can accomplish or adults accomplish in those open shows. And I have Jamie Butke. She is the executive secretary for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. Now, you're just getting done with some district meetings. And how many fairs do participate in these meetings and have fairs around our state?
There are 75 state-aided fairs in Wisconsin, and we had 60 of our fairs represented over 4 in-person meetings and 1 Zoom meeting that we did the past several weeks, where we actually travel the state. Myself, Deb Jaguer from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, she's our fairs coordinator. Mary Check, who serves as our president from the Rock County Fair for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. And myself, travel to 4 different districts every spring and every fall to talk about everything that's coming up that our fair members need to know.
And these meetings, what were some of those hot topics?
Well, what was great is Deb Jaguer was present, and she spoke about all of the different animal health updates. Of course, we are talking about the avian flu component that is out there, so she gave us an update on that. We also talk about how we need judges, so if anyone has an interest in becoming a licensed judge, that is always open until July 1st of every year, and you can always reach out to DATCAP for that information. Fairs are in the process of receiving their state aid checks, and the other part is we end up talking a lot about things that are happening legislatively. So we talked about a new bill that was just passed for us in March, where all 74 of our fairs benefited from having a new rule in place because we also received additional funding in the past budget session. And then we also spent a lot of time talking about a CARE Act and a RIDE Act that is affecting our fair industry as well that we're dealing with on a national level.
So Governor Tony Evers just signed in this Wisconsin Act 244, but it's also referred to as the Senate Act 311. So what's that all about?
Well, it was a big win for us. It took a little process for us to get this updated. But at the end of the day, all 74 of our Wisconsin fairs will receive more state aid funding for exhibits that take place at the Wisconsin fairs, and it'll begin with our 2024 fair season, which runs mid-June to mid-September.
Knowing a little bit of the history of the fairs in the state, how many of our fairs do you think are going to be able to reach up to that $20,000 mark?
So I would say we have one fair that will surpass it. The Walworth County Fair has a great number of exhibits in their area, so they exceed it quite a bit. But there's probably about 15 fairs that fall in that cap where in the past they weren't quite getting to 10. And there's a lot that fall in that $10,000 to $17,000 range. So it affects about 15 fairs that are going to receive more funding because of the cap. But because there's enough money in the way the formula is written, which is a difficult thing to follow as well, so I'm not even going to explain it. But every fair will receive more funding, which, again, that's the win at the end of the day.
Along with more funding, do you think there'll be more exhibits that move from fair to fair?
I'm not certain. I think since COVID, we've still been recouping exhibitors coming back. Fairs did see a loss in some exhibitors, and that slowly has been coming back. I think our 2023 fair season got extremely close to what we were pre-COVID. So I really think that the 2024 fair season will see exhibitors hopefully getting back to what they were prior to those numbers. And I think as they exhibit, again, they just have to follow the rules and whatever the fairs have in their rule books. Exhibitors have always been able to show up multiple fairs, neighboring fairs, so they can continue to do that. This may also open up the doors for some in other areas that maybe didn't travel to other fairs that might consider doing it now. But again, it's just really, truly important that they follow what the rules are of each fair as to who they say can exhibit at their fair.
Well, we were just talking about the state legislation and helping out the fairs and the exhibitors, but there are a few legislation pieces that are coming from the national level. Can you give me a little insight on those?
You bet. So the Wisconsin Association of Fairs is a member of the International Association of Fairs and Expositions. It's called IAFE. And right now we are, along with other states, trying to, there's two pieces of legislation that are taking place. There's one called the CARE Act, and it is called Carnivals Are Real Entertainment, and it's a House bill. And then there is a RIDE Act, which is Restoring Industry Development in Entertainment, which is the Senate companion piece. And the confusion out there is it's a labor issue. It's not an immigration issue. But what we're finding is our mobile amusement companies are struggling to find workers that want to work in the industry and that they can have for a full fair season because, you know, they are seasonal. They used to be that we would try to fight for them as an H-2B worker, but there's limitations on to the amount of H-2B workers that can take place as well. But there is a P visa, and this P visa will allow mobile entertainment, which was where our carnivals fall, and they're a really vital piece of a fair. One of the things, and I hate to keep coming back to COVID, but I think one of the things we really truly learned during COVID was our fairs wanted to hold on to that education piece, right? Because that's how fairs started. This was a way to promote your educational, your livestock, what you build, whether it was a piece of woodworking that you did or the plants and the crops that you grow, right? And what we found was, as much as we all wanted to have that piece, there were other ingredients that went into having to have a fair successful. You still had to pay those bills. You had to pay for manure removal. You had to pay for the electricity and everything else that took place to have those exhibits take place. And what we found is, think about a fair not having a carnival. And we have a couple that are successful without it, but that's just traditionally how they've been. But now think about if we don't have the carnival industry that is there. That's an ingredient that is a revenue generator for fairs. It brings in a different fair participant that spends different money at the fair, but then also that money that a fair generates is able to help pay for all the educational stuff that fairs need to pay for as well. And what's astonishing is that since between 2016 and 2023, 50% of the carnival companies have dropped. Like, we've lost 50% of our carnivals nationwide between 2016 and 2023. That's a huge, huge thing. So it's a piece of legislation that would allow labor, which is what is needed for our mobile amusement industry. So that's what we are having our fairs push right now in hopes that we can get our state representatives to sign on.
I always like to catch up with you, Jamie Butke. She's the executive secretary for the Wisconsin Association of the Fairs. Always good to find out some of those new legislative things going on and those hot topics. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After a 2023 resolution by the Republican National Committee, GOP state legislators have pushed legislation to ban ranked choice voting. April 29th, Oklahoma became the seventh state to ban RCV, but other states are considering its adoption. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed HB 3156, which specifies, quote, "No election conducted by the state election board, a county election board, or any municipality authorized to conduct elections in Oklahoma shall use ranked choice voting." Oklahoma joins Florida, Tennessee, Idaho, Montana, Kentucky, and South Dakota. In 2016 and 2020, Maine and Alaska adopted RCV for specific elections, and nationally, scores of municipalities now use it for local elections. Nevada voters approved a first step in 2022 and vote on the constitutional amendment again in November 2024. Oregon voters also consider it this fall. Vermont may consider a bill next term, and an Illinois state task force reports next year on RCV's possible use in 2028. Ranked choice voting eliminates the need and expense for separate runoff elections, requires a majority vote to win, encourages issue-based campaigns, and offers voters more candidate choices. Major party critics claim RCV is too complicated and see it as a threat to party dominance. We have more on ranked choice voting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
On my next show, I'll be interviewing 14th Assembly District candidate Brady Coulthard. I'm also going to break down Trump's interview with Time Magazine. Gotta fact check the heck out of that one.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Companies in Wisconsin or in the United States because they can't get employees. Same story we're hearing from Terry Cosby. He's the chief at the Natural Resource Conservation Service. He said they've got 3,000 field office networks that are out there trying to help farmers and landowners do voluntary conservation practices. But just like everybody else, they are having a dilly of a time trying to find employees. In fact, Cosby says they're doing what they can with internships, even at a young age.
We have a volunteer program. I would say that if there's a high school student out there that really wants to understand us and walk into that NRCS office, and they will sign them up. You all have to be 15 years old, and you'll be able to do anything that an employee does. Maybe not be able to drive a government vehicle, but we'll put you to work. And that's a great way to get people interested. And then also, if you're in colleges, we still have a volunteer program. And then we have an internship. We take high school seniors and bring them in as interns, and we pay them. There are several ways to come work for NRCS, and we have a bunch. Please contact us and invite us and have us come out and talk to the students.
Yeah, that's Terry Cosby again. He is the national director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and he says, honestly, it's frustrating. Even when they get applicants, he says, sometimes they just lack the background that they really need.
Most of these college campuses have dropped classes out of their curriculum. That's important to us. And mainly soils courses. What we're finding is that when they're graduating from college, they don't qualify to come work for us because they don't have a soils course. And it seems to me that anyone that's in agriculture, a foundational course would be soils. You have to understand that because that is the backbone of farming and what we do. And so we're having a challenge right now on college campuses finding students that could come work for us. Now, we can hire them in other disciplines, but we need soil conservationists, and those are the folks that are out on these farms with the ranchers writing these conservation plans.
Yep, I hear you, Terry. Terry Cosby, again, he is the National Director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and he makes a good point. A lot of campuses just phase out some of these programs like soil sciences. The other one, he says that they really struggle finding graduates from ag engineering. So the theme continues. Don't have enough people, that's for sure. Ain't got enough people looking at the weather today just yet either. Stumach Ag Meteorologist, one of the first to keep an eye on things. Oh, and by the way, before we get into the more severe stuff that could be coming to Wisconsin, got a text message last night from somebody that said the rain brought out the morel mushrooms. This person says he got 5 pounds of gray morels on the north side. Already a different spring this year, he says. So there you go. Morel mushrooms are out. They're going to get a little rain on them. Now, you told me I should tap the brakes when it comes to cautioning people about severity of this hole, huh?
Well, there's going to be some thunderstorm activity that could in some areas mean localized strong winds, maybe some localized heavy rain, maybe some hail. In terms of southern Wisconsin, though, I don't expect that we're in for a big boomer today. Maybe the most likely area that could see severe weather would be that southwest part of the state. The rain just here, just west of the Mississippi, as far as the radar is concerned, on the east side of the river, you may have sprinkles already, but the real rain is just to the west. It extends from the Twin Cities up into central Minnesota, right down through southeast Minnesota, right through eastern Iowa. It's into western Illinois already. Low pressure is moving into western parts of Iowa this morning, pulling that warm front up out of the south, the cool front in from the west, and it will march that rain right through Wisconsin. Already in the west this morning, maybe not into the south central or central part of the state until late this morning into the afternoon. Eastern Wisconsin could see something as we head toward the afternoon or a bit later in the day. Showers, possibly thunderstorms. Yes, some strong winds, maybe localized heavy rains. Overall, though, what I'm anticipating through today and tonight would be rain amounts pushing in that quarter to three-quarter inch range, a little more with a thunderstorm, especially in the south. I wouldn't expect a whole lot more than that. That's not the end of it. Although it dries out somewhat late tonight or into Wednesday, already by later day Wednesday into Wednesday night from west to east, another chance of rain, another tenth of an inch or two could be seen. I'll have those details right after this.
Optimize your farming with Madison Area Drone Service, your comprehensive drone hub for sales, repairs, and equipment. Their cutting-edge agriculture spray drones ensure precise field applications, significantly reducing waste and enhancing distribution accuracy. With advanced GPS technology, avoid obstacles like tree lines, neighboring fields, and livestock. Getting started is simple with Madison Area Drone Service. Discover more at wydroneservice.com. Madison Area Drone Service, streamlining agriculture.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure. Found out I only got 4 chairs left on that tour. 4 left, just so you know. Stumach, the radar that I'm looking at this morning is a vibrant bunch of colors. Tell me what's coming.
Yeah, a lot of color out there just west of the Mississippi this morning, but that's all going to slowly march east today. And expect cloudy skies, showers, and thunderstorms embedded in western and southwest Wisconsin pretty quickly here in the next hour or two. And that will slowly spread across the state as we head through the morning and into the afternoon. I'd expect, along with cloudy skies and that rain, upper 60s for highs. Southeast winds become southwest about 5 to 15. Still some rain chance this evening, ending first in the west, ending late in the east. Like I talked about, some near quarter to three-quarter inch amounts of rain, a possibility. Nighttime lows in the very low 50s with the southwest winds at 5. Some sunshine Wednesday. Rain develops in the west late afternoon, pushes east in the night. Low 70s on Wednesday. Rain lingering into Thursday in the east, ending then. Still some clouds around. Temps a little cooler. Upper 50s, low 60s on Thursday, Pam. Northeast winds 5 to 15. And even Friday, later in the day, maybe another round of just a little rainfall. It could take us into Saturday, but the temperatures stay a little closer to normal right into the weekend.
All right, good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and do a postmortem on whatever comes our way, all right?
Sounds good. We'll catch you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing us the weather details that you really do need to know about today. Rainfall reporters, of course, I'll be leaning into you heavy. Don't forget that toll-free number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. At least two people have been killed in a tornado that tore through the tiny town of Barnesdall, Oklahoma. KOTV's Ron Morton is there.
There's a lot of damage, pretty significant damage here. I would say at least probably six or seven ambulances that have just driven by. There's all kinds of highway patrol emergency management vehicles here, and they're going from house to house to do search and rescue at this time.
Search and rescue efforts also underway at the Osage Nation Reservation. In southern Gaza, Israeli tanks have rolled into Rafah, taking control of the Palestinian side of the southern border crossing with Egypt. An American soldier stationed in South Korea has been detained in Russia. CBS's David Martin.
He was arrested last week for allegedly stealing from a woman. The evidence against him is not known.
Officials say he'd made a detour to Russia on his way home to the States to visit his girlfriend, who made the claim against him. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin state prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Royals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Crew losing last night in Kansas City, 3-2 to the Royals. Milwaukee's Gary Sanchez with a two-run homer. On the mound, Bryce Wilson held the Royals scoreless through the first six innings. Then KC came back with a three-run rally in the seventh, followed by some plays too close to call. Pat Murphy.
Two real close calls at the end. Not questioning the umpires, I'm just saying two real close calls at the end changed the game, but we got to do more. You know, we didn't hit with a runner in scoring position until that time.
NFL Packers coaches meeting with the media. So what's it like not having left tackle David Bakhtiari anymore?
I mean, it's always sad when stuff like that happens. Obviously, he was such a huge part here for such a long time and a phenomenal player and phenomenal leader. It's just been different. Like last year, other guys had to step up and basically take the room over. And that's where you saw guys like Elton and Josh Myers really, you know, just become the leaders of the room. That was fun to watch.
That's the Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next Mino and the Mayor, Jake Vandenplas with Door County Farm for Bets joins us.
Then we'll welcome Coach Kayla, the new UWGB women's basketball coach.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. We'll get to around 63 for a high this afternoon. There could be one or two isolated strong to severe storms, so be weather aware today. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. More thunderstorms by late afternoon and evening tomorrow. Our high right around 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Waukesha's famous Farmer's Market is back for another season, and WAUK is proud to be a supporter. We love setting up every Saturday morning, but could really use some help getting the tent and table up by 8 a.m. Saturdays and taken down at noon. With that in mind, we'd love to hire a couple of people to do the heavy lifting. A 7 a.m. start, done just after noon every Saturday. We'll pay you $15 an hour. In between setup and teardown, enjoy the market. Let us know if you're in at info@waukradio.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Big Deals. Hi, it's Jenny from Big Deals, and here's a reminder from a mom for you. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this mom is here to tell you that I love gift certificates from Big Deals. Certificates for dining, entertainment, and a whole lot more. And if you purchase today, your Big Deal store is offering you an additional 15% off your entire purchase. Just use the promo code MOM. Today, and today only, save big from Big Deals.
Go to waukradio.com and click on the Big Deals tab.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together.
Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, no kidding. You may be able to hear rumbles of thunder pretty clearly on a Tuesday. We've got rain in the forecast, basically for our entire listening area. 70, our daytime high, a little cooler along the lakeshore. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and 76. Thursday, more showers back in the forecast. Now, don't forget, rainfall reporters, you're going to be critically important to me, especially if we see something more than just rain out of these storms that are rolling across the state. Remember our talk text line to let me know what's happening in your backyard, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Just type me a quick message. Let me know what kind of rainfall you got. Doesn't have to be anything precise. It's just a collective way for us all to talk about the weather. We'll probably be doing the same when we catch up with John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing. He's on the way. I'm Pam Youngke. Really glad you're along with us on this Tuesday. So it is the 7th day of May. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1956... the 35th million vehicle produced at the GM plant rolled off the assembly floor. 35th million vehicle. They produced a gold 1957 Bel Air Sport Coupe, or a hardtop. That was at the Janesville GM Center. You know what? I looked it up. That GM plant closed in 2009, finished demolishing it 2019. But boy, it was something on this day back in 1956. On this day in 1895, Alexander Popov demonstrated the world's first radio receiver. He actually had built it as a lightning detector, but finally figured out how to be using it as a radio transmitter. Thank you, Mr. Alexander Popov, on this day back in 1895. On this day in 1946, Sony is founded. It started as the Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Company, and today, Sony, one of the leading manufacturers of electronics in the world. And now you know. I want you to know that the new class making up the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council has been announced. 15 soon-to-be seniors from across the state will focus in on careers related to agriculture, find out about resources available for farmers, get insight in agriculture policy development, and find new ways to network with other participants. Our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski says that he is pleased that they are into the fifth year of inviting those high school seniors to learn more about opportunities for them. I've got the whole list of all 15 up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I will tell you, these are the students from our listening area. Riley Brotley from Cambridge, Ashton Brusman from Cambria, Jamie Dam from Columbus, Gracie Fox from Burlington, Max Lukey from Beaver Dam, Keziah Smith from Milwaukee, Michaela Stoninger from De Pere, Madison Weiss from Greenleaf, and Matthew Winch from Fenimore. Congratulations. They will begin their experience with the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council coming up this fall. That will last for a year. not only recognizing how important young people are for the future of Wisconsin agriculture and agribusiness, also recognizing the importance that women play today when it comes to production agriculture. 2026 is going to be a big year. Dave Geiger tells us more.
2026 will be the International Year of the Woman Farmer. U.S. Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Xochitl Torres-Small, along with the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, made the declaration as part of the U.N. Assembly, saying this was spearheaded by the USDA and has more than 100 co-sponsors. Torres-Small believes the worldwide observance will call attention to the role women play in global food and agricultural production.
Therefore, it is our belief that by declaring 2026 as the International Year of the Woman Farmer, the global community can raise awareness of the essential role of women in agriculture and the barriers they face and overcome to feed future generations.
Torres-Small says by adopting the resolution, the UN better acknowledges the initiatives, policies, and actions needed to address barrier issues and promote gender equality and empowerment.
This resolution highlights the critical importance of women's improved access to, ownership of, and control over resources, inputs, and services, including land, training and capacity building, credit, and technology.
Women are becoming more recognized on U.S. farms. The 1982 Census of Agriculture reported of the 2.2 million farm operators in the country, about 5% were women. 40 years later, the most recent census shows on the 1.8 million farms in the country, nearly 40% of day-to-day decision makers were women. I'm David Geiger reporting.
Thanks, Dave. And speaking of women involved in agriculture, today is the day for the Wisconsin Women in Conservation's Spring Learning Circle, starting at 11:30 this morning in Poinette at the McKinsey Nature Center. They are going to be focused in on sharing knowledge about conservation projects that are going to be going on this year. You are still welcome to join them. They will have plenty of space, I'm sure. Find out about the details or join them at the McKinsey Nature Center this morning starting at 11:30 a.m. outside of Poinette. Go to wiwic.org or check it out on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. Coming up next, find out how the markets are treating us on a Tuesday morning. And then just around the corner, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, giving us his bird's eye look at what the traders are talking about. Stand by.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin agricultural tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
Well, Wisconsin farmers have used every available moment to try to get some planting done, and they've been successful, at least for right now. Across the state of Wisconsin, as of Sunday, 22% of our corn was already in the ground. That's 5 days ahead of last year, a day ahead of our five-year average. Some of that corn that was planted in southern Wisconsin already coming through the soil surface. 22% of our soybeans also in the ground. That's 8 days ahead of last year, 5 days ahead of our five-year average. As far as oats, 54% of that crop's already planted. 77% of our potatoes are in the ground. And winter wheat, looking pretty good. 86% called good. Good to excellent. That's up 4 percentage points in just a week. Same thing as far as hay. The first crop hay, 74% called good to excellent. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are a little bit mixed in Chicago. Currently, we're looking at December new crop corn. That's unchanged at 489. November new crop beans are down 2 cents, currently at 1218. July wheat, quiet right now, but was crazy hot yesterday, 649 a bushel. Dairy markets, as far as our barrel cheese was concerned, it gained a quarter of a cent yesterday at 188 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese up a nickel at 184. Double A butter stood still, 307 and a half per pound. Now, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 4 cents, currently at 1941. The July milk up 15 cents on the close at 1943 a hundredweight. So what in the world is going on with our markets? We saw a lot of movement yesterday in the trade. What inspired it all? We are going to find out about that next. Our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, coming on the phone.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let the puns roll in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 11:06. Dr. Kieran Tamirius, a political psychiatrist, on how to talk to people we don't agree with. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Shaw, WAUK.
800-334-9779. So, John, let's start with the planting progress report. In Wisconsin, we were fortunate that we got quite a bit done in a fairly short period of time. 22% of our corn in the ground, 22% of our soybeans planted, both numbers ahead of our where we were a year ago and generally ahead of our five-year average. But you say that's not the case everywhere. What caught your attention in this week's planting progress update?
Well, you know, we had such a good start there, and guys are really pushing a couple of weeks ago before that first rain kind of came in. And now the rains have moved through and really put the brakes on things. We only picked up about 9% on the countryside in terms of the oval corn planting pace, slowed things down pretty aggressively there. And that just sounded very common from talking to guys. Guys just are not getting in the fields in a lot of the key areas and getting things in. And now we got another line going through today of some more rain. It looks like hitting the corn, you know, coming into Wisconsin all the way through the southern part of the Corn Belt. And it's just going to keep things from turning right now. And that's becoming a concern in the marketplace. At this window, usually by the 15th of May, we want to be around that, realistically, about 60% planted is where we need this thing to get to. And right now we're sitting at 36% nationally. And you're looking at key states such as Illinois and Indiana, which are trailing well behind the five-year pace in terms of their planting progress. And, you know, even Iowa, with the progress it had last week and making the big jump, you know, fell behind the pace again, too. So that's a concern in the marketplace. And some of the reason maybe we're seeing some money flow into the market right now is just overall planting pace and where we're at and, you know, what type of
yields that kind of put us down the road. The thing is, like you kind of said, we just had a little bit of a window here in Wisconsin, and we jumped 12% and got a lot of stuff in the ground in a big hurry with the technology we have. You know, planning concerns sometimes don't really feel like they should move the market because we can get things in the ground pretty quick. So, but we got to find a dry window, and looks like maybe we got a little bit after this system that could come in the ground, but some of these guys in some of these regions are so wet that it's going to take at least a good week of drying before they can even turn a wheel.
Wow. Let's kind of keep that focus on the grain trade, because yesterday I was more than a little surprised. I keep an eye on the screen kind of through the course of the day while I'm trying to take care of other things. And when I glanced up, all of a sudden yesterday, about mid-morning, late mid-morning, the wheat went crazy. That's the one that caught my attention first, but then everything else followed. What in the world did I miss something? What drove them so hard yesterday? And then everything settled down.
This is a short covering rally, what we've got going on in all three grains right now. It really started with the wheat market a couple of weeks ago. Again, wheat catches another boost yesterday. A couple big things in the wheat market. We're really watching what's going on with Russia. Russia's the world's largest supplier of wheat in terms of the export market. They've been basically the controller of the price over the last couple of years here in terms of everything's based off what Russian wheat is doing in terms of export value. Now, they're dealing with some dryness. They're dealing with some concerns regarding their crop, as well as a possibility of some cold coming through that could do some damage as well. So the wheat market's throwing some risk premium in here on the weather front in that regard. And that's why we saw the strong move in wheat again yesterday, just continued concerns on the funds that, you know, hey, maybe we don't want to be this short here with all the little different things going on in the markets in general in terms of weather. Add into that the KC wheat belt, again, western Kansas, it continues to stay dry. We, you know, are still seeing some crop ratings, you know, struggle there in that regard in that area. And, you know, Kansas is the world's largest producer of hard red winter, or United States' largest producer of that hard red winter wheat crop. And that's been just giving this market some boost. Now, that's spilled over into the soybean market, into the corn market. Now, soybeans got their own story. If you haven't seen the news events, the heavy flooding of Rio Grande do Sul, that's one of the largest producing provinces in terms of soybean and corn in Brazil. They rank number three in terms of production for both those two grains. They're in the middle of their harvest right now, and then they come in with massive amounts of rain and flooding and things of that nature that really has us wondering how much of that crop's actually going to get out, and that's triggered those markets as well. Throw in the continued problems with leafhoppers in Argentina and then making another cut on their corn crop, and the funds, like I said, just are sitting there looking at these massive short positions and saying, you know, maybe we need to move the money to the sidelines, get ourselves a little bit more square, especially also we got a big USDA report coming here on Friday.
Yeah, let's talk about that report, because it all goes hand in glove with the actions that we're seeing in the marketplace. Again, John Heinberg's along with us. He's with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, totalfarmmarketing.com. The 800 number is 800-334-9779. So this report Friday is a big one, huh, John?
It's got a lot of moving pieces in it. First off, obviously, we got to see what happens on the old crop side in terms of the demand, the picture. Okay, nothing else is going to change except for the demand tables in that regard. We expect soybean demand to get reduced a little bit because of the poor exports. We'll see what they do with the crush. On the corn side, do we see some export improvement? And they make add some additional bushels there. So that's kind of the biggest thing we'll be watching on the old crop. The thing that comes to light in this one is the first chance to take a look at estimates for the 2024-25 marketing year. In other words, a crop that we're planting right now and its progress for next fall. And again, with just touching base on corn, obviously we're looking at that 90 million acres, a potential trend line yield. The USDA typically goes with what they come off the outlook form at 181 bushels per acre, which, you know, may seem massively high. And they'll put the demand estimates into it for the next year, which are really just darts at a dartboard. And so we'll see how that comes together. We could see a pretty large carryout projection, which could weigh on prices, especially with this rally here. You know, same thing on the soybean side. My big question there is, what do they do with demand, especially export demand for soybeans? Because currently right now, we're about a million metric tons behind last year's pace for new crop bean sales. And we don't even have one actual tied sale to China on the books at this time frame, which is very rare in this window. So that's going to be a major goalpost that they're going to set in the ground on Friday with that USDA report, what we're going to see next year.
Wow. And is there anybody that we can fathom that could step into that gap that China has continued to create?
Unfortunately, at this time frame, probably not. And we're seeing that. And that's why we're looking at those possible soybean sale reductions in terms of exports on the old crop side of it as well for this report on Friday. That's going to be a very interesting number and in how they put that together, because right now we're just losing the battle between Argentina and Brazil and the United States in price when it comes to those exports of soybeans.
Wow. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. So the bottom line is take advantage of those rallies that we see and watch to see what happens on Friday, huh, John?
Very much so. We've had an opportunity here to get some old crop marketed, maybe get some new crop things put together. You know, producers need to be active in here, set some targets before this report. If the market does continue to rally, let the market come to you. Be comfortable with those sales. If you want to re-own them, that's what we're here for, to handle that risk in the market.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks for the heads up. Have a good Tuesday. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Thanks, John. John Heinberg again joining us live this morning from West Bend, TotalFarmMarketing.com. And again, as we said, that website, TotalFarmMarketing.com, where you can find him, and 800-334-9779, the number you can reach him for before that report comes on Friday. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, or you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
America's ethanol producers have a beef about Brazilian ethanol. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The country's first production facility for sustainable aviation fuel is taking some heat from the U.S. ethanol industry. The reason? The Soperton, Georgia plant is using Brazilian sugarcane ethanol in the process. Tom Bias, CEO of the American Carbon Alliance, says international standards rate biofuels for their sustainability.
The Carbon Index, which is a score based on modeling for different types of fuel, deals American ethanol a bad hand, so to speak.
Bias says the ethanol industry is working on a carbon sequestration plan that could level the playing field.
When they do that, then the corn ethanol that's produced at these plants where they capture the carbon will qualify to be a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel, which is a big growth market. A lot of demand out there and very little product.
Bias says another issue with Brazilian ethanol involves tariffs.
There's a big tariff disparity. They have one on our products going into their country, and we do not have one on theirs coming into the country. The ethanol industry and the ag groups are insistent that that be changed.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from the Minocqua Brewing Company Tap Room. My guests are John and Gordy, poet Richard Vargas, singers Kirk Bangstad and Susan Gettert, and musician Tommy Bentz.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.